From the sports desk of the Ames Tribune, Ames, Iowa, the home of the Cyclones. This is the Cyclone Slant. With sports editor Travis Hines. Now, the Cyclone Slant.
Hello and welcome to a post-game edition of the Cyclone Slant podcast brought to you by Ames Ford Lincoln. I am Ames Tribune sports editor Travis Hines, coming to you from snowy Minnesota, actually, watching the game remotely while our Dylan Montz was on the ground in Morgantown watching Iowa State take a 38-14 victory over West Virginia to improve to 4-2 on the season, 2-1 in the Big 12. A truly impressive second half performance by Iowa State to turn a tie ball game at halftime into a rout by about midway through the fourth quarter. Got off to a rocky start with kind of a fluky interception return for a touchdown by West Virginia before Iowa State kind of righted the ship. West Virginia gets a late touchdown in the first half, and then Iowa State runs away and hides in the second half. The story of today, however, is the two halves, but certainly the headline is going to be true freshman Breece Hall for Iowa State. The Cyclones have been looking, maybe desperately, for somebody to take a hold of that starting running back job, that feature running back job. They've cycled through, you know, guy after guy to start this season and have not found a guy that has been able to take the reins, and I think that may have changed today. Breece Hall rushes for 132 yards, three touchdowns on 26 carries, averages over 5 yards per carry. Was really good in pass blocking, which you don't often see from a freshman. Picked up a number of blitzes really nicely to help Brock Purdy out in the passing game. And then obviously, you know, really showed some stuff with his ability, not only to run the football effectively, but to do so, you know, with a little, you know, pizzazz, for lack of a better word. He had a nice spin move. He had some nice jukes. And finally, I think we saw the guy that came to Iowa State last winter with so much promise. He really delivered for Iowa State today in Morgantown. You know, we'll see if he can keep it up, but obviously this is the best running back performance Iowa State has seen since David Montgomery left town last year for the Chicago Bears. And it came from the guy I think everybody really expected, frankly, to be the best running back on the roster. And I think there was patience involved. I think if you go back and look what we read and wrote earlier this year, that it might take a while for Breece Hall to get there, but the prevailing wisdom was that once we got into midseason, and we're now officially in midseason as we're in mid-October, that he'd be the guy. And today, I think, was really the first time we truly saw, you know, why there was that level of optimism around him. Again, 132 yards, three touchdowns, 26 carries. It's kind of hard to say which of those three numbers is most impressive, because 132 yards and three touchdowns obviously makes for a productive day. But the fact that he was able to carry the ball 26 times, not only able to, but that the coaching staff trusted him to do that on the road as a true freshman, and that he was able to handle that workload is really promising sign. So that, to me, is going to be the A1 takeaway from Iowa State's 38-14 win at West Virginia. The second one is going to be how just dominant Iowa State was in the second half. Let me pull up the stats here. Total yards in the second half, Iowa State 223, West Virginia 44. Rushing yards in the second half, Iowa State 86, West Virginia 11. Passing yards, Iowa State 137, West Virginia 33. West Virginia also had two turnovers in the second half. They absolutely could not get anything going. And it's so impressive from John Haycock's defense, not only for those sheer numbers, but Greg Eisworth wasn't even in pads. Orion Vance leaves early in the game with an injury. Hopefully we'll hear more from Matt Campbell about that tonight. And then obviously Jaquan Bailey's out for what ESPN said was a broken leg. We hadn't gotten that level of specificity from Campbell yet this year, but I think that was the best guess after what Campbell said last week with it being bone-related and requiring surgery and not being a knee. So they got a little bit of confirmation there. But just three turnovers in the second half. I only said two for West Virginia, so I take that back. But just a dominating performance from Iowa State. You know, and Campbell talks so much about playing and winning in the margins, And I thought Iowa State did a nice job of that today, especially after adversity hit, you know, where, you know, they should have been out and well out in front of West Virginia, but you've got the kind of fluky interception to start. You kind of had some things where Iowa State really should have been out in front and couldn't quite get the separation. And then in the second half, the defense clamps down. Breece Hall comes through. Brock Purdy has a nice game in the second half that, you know, really allowed for Iowa State to run away with this one in impressive fashion. And then they're again, it's October. They're playing their best football. And now, you know, we'll find out here in a couple minutes what happens with Baylor. They're down three but have the ball at the goal line of Texas Tech. In Waco, if Baylor loses that game, there's going to be a tie for second place with a bunch of teams with one loss in the Big 12 after Oklahoma beat Texas earlier today in the Red River Shootout. So Iowa State is perfectly positioned yet again. You know, that loss at Baylor obviously stings because it was so close and they had the lead after not playing well at the end. But if they continue to take care of business in October, it's going to set up for a really, really fantastically interesting November in Ames, you know, starting with that game against Oklahoma, with Texas finally coming north in November. That's what October is all about, setting up November for this Iowa State team. They can, if they take care of business, things are going to get interesting. If they have a hiccup, whether it's next week in Lubbock or the following weekend at home against Oklahoma State, suddenly, you know, the path to Arlington gets a little bit trickier, a little more winding. You're going to need more help. But if they continue to do what we've seen them do now for 2.5 years in October, things are looking awfully up for Iowa State football. Still waiting on that Baylor score. I was going to wait around for it, but I'm just not going to. I don't have the patience. But some of the other stats today, LaMichael Pedway, really not a dynamic game, but he just seemed to be everywhere. For Iowa State, which was really important considering DeShante Jones, the guy who had 10 catches last week while nobody else had one, did not have a catch today. Petway had 8 catches, 81 yards, you know, really some timely catches on third down, really helped Iowa State's offense, you know, move the sticks. Charlie Kolar had 3 grabs. Tariq Milton had 2. Joe Skates had his first touchdown reception of his career. Again, just a really solid, nice game from Iowa State. You know, they did. It could have been more interesting because they let West Virginia kind of hang around really until that fourth quarter. You know, it was a one-score game going into the fourth quarter until Iowa State scored 17 there in the last 15 minutes. Rial Mitchell came in for the last drive, handed off to Breece Hall for his third touchdown. So, again, I think this is a game where you come away from it feeling very, very bullish if you're Iowa State. You hope to get good injury news on both Eisworth and Orion Vance, but from what we saw between the sidelines on Saturday afternoon and evening in Morgantown, I think this is a maybe one of the best performances of the year for Iowa State, certainly in the second half. You know, I would put it up with that fourth quarter performance against Baylor, maybe even a little better, given that the defense, you know, really held all the way through. Obviously different kinds of circumstances in those two games. But this special teams, too, was really good. Let's put out a little bit of love for Iowa State special teams. Landon Akers was like awesome with downing Rivera punts inside the 5. Let's see, he had a long of 54, 2 inside the 20. I think both of those were inside the 5 that Landon Akers downed both times. Braden Narveson on in relief of Connor Asawe as the field goal kicker and connects from 45 yards. That made it a 2-score game in the fourth quarter. It ended up not being super pivotal because of the defense and what Iowa State was able to tack on after that. But at the time, huge, huge field goal for Narveson with his first career field goal. Asawe did kick the PATs for Iowa State today, so it'll be interesting to see what Matt Campbell has to say about his kicking situation. But I would imagine they're a little iffy on Asawe given he just got replaced in the field goal kicking, but also the last 2 or 3 weeks, Campbell has been ultra aggressive on fourth down in a way that I don't think we've ever seen him in his tenure. You know, I obviously have had a long running bit about Campbell's decision making once they get into plus territory about how frequently they punt inside the 40, which like with great frequency. But all of a sudden, the last couple weeks, Campbell has been ultra aggressive with going, or at least, you know, by his standards. I don't think that they're risky aggressive by any stretch. It's usually fourth and three in plus territory, fourth and four in plus territory. I think those make a lot of sense when you have this, when you have a quarterback you can trust in Brock Purdy and a defense that is rock solid if you do not pick it up. And if Iowa State today, let me pull up the stats on that, and on fourth down, Iowa State was 3 of 3, which is big. After, I think before that, they were like 1 of 7 or something like that. So 3 for 3 on fourth down today. I think that's a great development for Iowa State and a savvy one by Matt Campbell for the reasons I stated before. And I think just analytically, if you look at the expected value of punting from that part of the field versus just going for it and keeping your offense on the field, it tilts pretty heavily in the go for it column. So yeah, that's about all I've got. Be sure to check out AmesTrib.com tonight and tomorrow morning. Dylan Muntz, again, is in Morgantown, and we'll have all the reaction from Matt Campbell, the players, and analysis from Iowa State's 38-14 victory over West Virginia. Texas Tech in Lubbock on deck for next weekend. I appreciate you listening. This has been the Cyclone Slant Podcast, brought to you by Ames Ford Lincoln. I'm Travis Hines. Rate, review, subscribe, and we'll catch you next time.
Be sure and subscribe to the Cyclone Slant Podcast at iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.